You're listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto West. For more information, please visit harvesttorontowest.ca.
Okay. All right, loved ones, don't get distracted. The rumblings next door are going to give this sermon an epic value here, okay? So let me start with this. On the screen for you, David Mathis wrote this, and I was so helped by this. He said, "Make no mistake about it. Christians are sent. Those whom Jesus calls, listen, he sends. A sending so significant that receiving his sent ones amounts to receiving him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." John 13:20. Such a sending should be awe-inspiring, whether our particular sending includes a change in geography and culture, or simply a fresh realization and missional orientation on our lives and the labors among our native people. But what are we sent ones sent for? What is this sending about, anyways? Merry Christmas. This is the question that we're going to be answering in this sermon. What is this sending all about? That Jesus sends us into the world? This is the question that we're going to find the answer to as we look again at the doctrine of the incarnation. The title of this morning's message is this: The Mission of the Incarnation. Okay, and so we saw in previous weeks the hope of the incarnation. We saw last week the humility of the incarnation, but there is a mission to be viewed in the incarnation. There's a mission to be understood in the incarnation. So turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 20, John chapter 20, verse 21. We're going to read one verse, and then we're going to go to a few other spots in Scripture to help us understand what the incarnation means for us. The series we're in is called God with Us. In the incarnation, in the coming of Jesus Christ, he came, God came to be with us. And so what does the incarnation mean for us? We're going to answer that again today. So John chapter 20, 21. If you don't have a Bible, you can put up your hand, and one of the ushers would love to put a copy of God's word into your hand. And if you don't own one, just take that home. It'll be our gift to you today. John chapter 20, verse 21 simply says this. Jesus said to them, this is Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, with his disciples appearing to them. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. Listen, as the Father has sent me," and that's the incarnation, "even so I am sending you." And so in this context, Jesus has been crucified, buried, raised. He appears in his glorified body to the disciples who don't really know what's going on. He says, "As the Father has sent me in the incarnation, so I am sending you." So there's a few things we want to pull out of this passage that I'm praying will be applied directly to our hearts, that we will understand afresh what the incarnation means for us specifically in the mission Jesus gives to us that's modeled and seen in the incarnation. But before we jump in, I just want us to get an understanding of the word incarnation again. It's on the screen for you. Again, remember what I've been saying in previous weeks. I want you to be able to walk down the street and some random person walk up to you and say, hey, what does this word incarnation mean? And you'll be able to describe it. And not be like so many people who fill churches in our city that don't understand things like this. We want to learn, we want to grow, we want to be taught. So I'm praying that by the end of the series, next week is Christmas Eve, we're going to end our series, you'll be able to know and explain what the incarnation is and what it means. So incarnation, it's the word used to explain how the second member of the Trinity entered into human history in flesh as the God-man, Jesus Christ. That's it. God became a man and took on to himself a human nature. So incarnation is the word to use that we use to describe how God came to the earth, God with us, our Emmanuel, by becoming like us, not losing any of his deity. This is the doctrine of the incarnation. But what exactly does it mean for me? One thing we're really excited about in this church is taking doctrine and applying it to our lives and recognizing that the doctrine found in Scripture is not some high, lofty, theological, abstract idea that means nothing for me, but in fact, it relates and is applicable to my life. How today? Let's look at this. Write this down. We're going to start here. Understanding what the incarnation means for me. Let's start with this seemingly very basic thing, but very important to get us going. God sent Jesus into the world, okay? This is where we're going to start. We've been here already in previous weeks, but I need to restate it because it's in the verse that we're expounding today. God sent Jesus into the world. Understanding this now is going to help us make application in terms of how he sends us. God sent Jesus into the world. Verse 21 says, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." We know that through the incarnation, Jesus Christ was sent by the Father. Jesus Christ, God incarnate, sent by the Father on a unique and unrepeatable mission. What was his mission? Now you got to understand this. You got to grasp this if we're going to understand how it is Jesus sends us, because he does. He sends us. The mission is to seek and save the lost. In Luke 19:10 on the screen for you, Jesus describes his own mission. He says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." You have to understand the mission of Jesus if we're going to understand the mission of the church and how the incarnation applies to our life today. John Piper said it this way, it's on the screen. He said, "The coming of Jesus was a search and save mission." So Advent is a season for thinking about the mission of God to seek and to save lost people from the wrath to come. It's a season for cherishing and worshiping this characteristic of God. I hope we're doing that today. That he is a searching and saving God. That he is a God on a mission. That he is not aloof or passive or indecisive. He is never in maintenance mode, coasting or drifting. Listen, he is sending, pursuing, searching, saving. That's the meaning of Advent, all right? That's the meaning of Advent. That's the meaning of Christmas. We want to go through this season to worship Jesus for, as Piper instructs us, for this characteristic that he left the glory of heaven to come to earth on a seek and save rescue mission. All of us in this room have been sought by God, have been saved by God if you put your faith and trust in him. We've been gathered into his eternal kingdom. Today we're going to see again what the incarnation means for us specifically. We're going to zero in on what the mission of the incarnation practically means for us. We can find practical meaning in John 20, 21. Jesus said to his disciples again, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." So what I want you to understand is that there's a word of instruction, there's a word of exhortation, there's a word of commissioning to all of us through the incarnation, through Jesus Christ. As the Father sent him, so he sends us. But before we can dive into how Jesus sends us, and we're going to get there, and I believe make some practical application, because here's the thing. Here's the reality. The world is dark. The world is empty. The world is pursuing futile things. Each and every one of you work somewhere, go to school somewhere, bump into people at the grocery store, sit on the subway beside people on the GO train who don't know that God sent Jesus Christ. And Jesus sends us to tell them that. Before we dive into how Jesus sends us, we need to examine again how and why Jesus himself was sent by the Father. And here's what I want you to key in on. God the Father sent Jesus Christ, listen, into the world. Could he have saved us another way? God decided to send Jesus Christ into the world to engage with the world, to be part of the world, to walk with the people of the world. He sent Jesus Christ into the world. On the screen for you, Hebrews 2, 14 to 15 is a very helpful text that communicates for us Christ's mission in the incarnation. We're going to take some time to unpack some things from here before we make practical application, but let's notice it. Hebrews 2, 14 to 15 says, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself," speaking of Jesus, "likewise partook of the same things, and through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." So I want to show you three reasons just from this passage why Jesus Christ was sent into the world. Three reasons, and it's going to help propel us into our practical application of why Jesus then sends us. Make no mistake, Jesus sends us this Christmas season. But why did God send Jesus? Write this down. Number one, he sent Jesus to die a sacrificial death. On the screen for you. "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things." That's Jesus. People on the earth are flesh and blood, human beings. He then comes to the earth to take on a human nature. He partakes in the same things. Listen, "that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil." So the writer to the Hebrews is highlighting something so important, so valuable for us about the incarnation. It's this: since people share in flesh and blood, since people are human beings, Jesus needed to take on to himself a human nature so that in coming to the world and identifying with the world, he can pay the penalty for the sins of the world through his death. He came to die a sacrificial death. Secondly, he came to destroy the power of death. He came to destroy the power of death. On the screen, verse 14, "he himself likewise partook of the same things that through death," listen now, "he might do what? He might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." Let me put this verse on the screen for you. Do you remember Genesis 3:15? Do you remember that? Remember what God said to the serpent, the devil, when he deceived humankind and all of humanity fell into sin? This is what he said. God says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." What is God talking about all the way back in Genesis 3? He's talking about God incarnate who will come, Jesus Christ, who will come, the offspring of the woman. See, when Satan deceived Adam and Eve in the garden, death was birthed, and sin, and the wages of sin is death. But the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will come through the offspring of the woman. From the very beginning, God says, "I'm going to send someone who is going to destroy Satan. I'm going to send someone who's going to destroy the power of death." That's what Christmas is. He sends Jesus into the world to come and to destroy the power of death. Genesis 3:15 is fulfilled when Jesus Christ comes to the world. And he comes, listen, to engage the world. He comes and participates with the world. He comes to take on to himself a human nature. And listen, in dying on the cross, he absorbs the wrath of God and pays the penalty for all the sins of the world, destroying the power of sin and death and the grave and the devil. Jesus came to destroy the power of death. On the screen for you is a picture of a precious man. This week it was announced that Dr. R.C. Sproul had passed away. And R.C. Sproul was a pastor, he was an author, he's a scholar, he's a theologian, he was a longtime defender of the gospel and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had a powerful ministry, resourcing thousands and thousands of pastors and elders and church leaders with theology and doctrine. Well, listen to what he'd previously written about this verse. He wrote, "Here it is declared that the devil had the power of death until that power was wrenched away from him by Christ. We must remember that any power or authority Satan ever has is a delegated authority, as the ultimate authority over death and everything else is God. But Satan's delegated authority over death is taken from him by Christ. The irony is that Christ's victory over the devil and the power of death is accomplished by means of death. In his death, Jesus is victorious over death. Death cannot hold him. And so Jesus Christ, listen, is sent into the world to die a sacrificial death, to destroy the power of death, to engage the world, to become part of the world, to engage people that you know. He's engaged with you. He's taught you through his gospel what he's come to do. He's reinforcing that again today, that the baby in the manger was born to die, to defeat the power of death. Jesus was born to die. That's the mission of the incarnation. That's the purpose for which he came. God the Father sent Jesus Christ to die a sacrificial death, to destroy the power of death. And then finally this, God the Father sent Jesus Christ to deliver us from the fear of death. On the screen for you, it says, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has power over death, that is the devil, listen now, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Now, maybe you've heard this before, but there's a survey that's been done, a recent survey. I don't know how often they renew these things, but they were trying to rank people's fears from number one all the way down. It may surprise you that people's number one fear, 74% of the survey said their number one fear was, can you guess? It was actually speaking in public. That's people's number one fear. So what I'm doing right now, like 74% of you at least will say, I'd rather die than do what you're doing right now, okay? But a close runner-up, second most prevalent fear amongst people, 60-something percent, was the fear of death. Many people fear death. I see this when I do funerals. People have a renewed sense of, we better figure out what's going on. People have a renewed sense of, that person, they lived and now they're not here anymore and we don't know what happened to them and I better figure out what's going to happen to me. There's a fear of death, and the writer to the Hebrews calls it a lifelong slavery, this fear of death. Let me ask you a question. Do you fear death? Do you have a fear of death? Because the Bible tells us, the writer to the Hebrews says that Jesus came into the world to destroy the devil and the power of death, and to destroy it so that we would no longer fear death and be in bondage to slavery. The writer to the Hebrews says that the fear of death subjects people to a life of slavery and bondage. You want to understand what Christmas is all about? You want to understand what the mission of the incarnation is all about? Jesus comes to release people from fear. Jesus comes to release people from the fear of death in communicating that his birth leads to a death that grants pardon and forgiveness for sins that leads people to death if it's not dealt with. And his resurrection gives an eternal life for all who would put their faith and trust in him and believe in him, so that if you have faith in Christ, if you've turned from your sins, you don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear what comes on the other side, because you will know that your eternity is secure in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus came on Christmas, to offer forgiveness of sins, to offer a clean slate, to offer a fresh start. And so many people are wandering the face of the earth, and the Bible describes them as people who are enslaved. They're enslaved to sin. They're in bondage. They're fearful people. On Friday night, the other night, I was putting my kids to bed, and we saw these bright lights shining through the window, kind of flickering. And my son's like, oh, are those fireworks? What is that? And I kind of peeked through the blinds, and I saw three police cruisers blocking our street. And so, okay, kids, just go to bed, put your heads down. And so I'm peeking out. Of course, they're perched up, want to see what's happening. And so in front of us, like almost in front of our house, there's this man being handcuffed and arrested. And it must have been serious for three police cruisers to block the street. I don't know what happened or how that it all transpired. But my son said to me, "Daddy, I'm scared." He said, "Is that man going to come and try to rob us or hurt us?" I said to him, "Son, you don't be afraid. Just trust the Lord." And one thing occurred to me in my heart in that moment. You know, I began to communicate to my son, that man is a very fearful man. Not because he's being arrested, right? That man's a very hurting man. That man is still a slave to sin. That man is a slave to sin. He's in bondage and he's doing wrong things. He must be doing wrong things. That's why they're arresting him. And the reason he's doing wrong things is because he's wandering through this earth without any purpose. He's afraid. He's enslaved. He's hurting. He's wounded. He needs Jesus. He needs Jesus to come into his life and open his heart. He needs Jesus to illuminate the dark places of his life. The reason he's doing bad things, the reason he's in the back of a police cruiser right now is, see, listen, son, he's wounded. He's hurting. He's a slave to sin. He needs the gospel. And this is what the state of the world is. And sometimes we as Christians, we can get pretty self-righteous sometimes. You think we're so good. But at Christmas time, one thing we need to understand and remember is when God sent Jesus Christ into the world, he sent Jesus Christ to come and to release captives, people who are enslaved to sin, people who are in bondage to sin, people who are fearful and live lives of fear. This is why Jesus came into the world. This is the mission of the incarnation. And I pray that as we go on and bring application right now in a few moments, that our hearts are turning away from self-righteousness this Christmas, away from self-absorbed, you know, being self-absorbed, away from, you know, focusing on ourselves and onto a world that is actually dying and hurting and wounded and needs so much the Savior of the world. Understanding what the incarnation means for me, you have to grasp that God sent Jesus into the world. And secondly, we're going to break this down, and we're almost done here. Secondly, write this down. Jesus then sends you and I into the world. Okay? This is how the mission of the incarnation is applied to our hearts. This is how a room like this and people over there in Overflow in the other theater, a room like this, a room of this size, a group of people this size, this is where we can begin to understand that God can use us as a church to impact the world in a profound way. But we have to understand this. Jesus sends you and I into the world. Notice verse 21 of John chapter 20. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, listen, even so I am sending you." So you got to just picture Jesus Christ standing. Just imagine he's here right now. He's saying, this is what he would say to us. He said, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And some of you are sitting here saying, "No, not me." He's looking at everyone. He's looking at all his disciples, all his followers. And he says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." You want to know what the incarnation means for you? It means that as Jesus is sent, it means that you are sent on a mission as well. On the screen for you, David Mathis wrote this: "We are sent as representatives of the one born in Bethlehem and crucified at Calvary. We are sent to announce with all that we are, with mouth and mind and heart and hands, that the Father sent the Son. We are sent to say and show that Jesus was sent into the world to save sinners. What we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus and the good news about him. We are not the message, but mere messengers."
This is what the incarnation means for you and me today. See, Jesus is saying, I'm sending you. I'm sending you to work tomorrow. I'm sending you with a mission to be the extension of my mission, to announce that I came from the Father, to die a sacrificial death, to break the power of death, to release people from the fear of death. I'm sending you to work tomorrow. I'm sending you to school tomorrow. I'm sending you to many family gatherings this Christmas where people are hostile to Jesus Christ. I'm sending you there. No, you think you're just walking over there. You think you're going there on your own accord. You think you've made your own plans. I'm sending you there. I've given you a mission. I've given you a task. I'm sending you when you go to the grocery store and you pick up those last minute things you need to pick up for your Christmas gathering. I'm sending you there. That person standing next to you as you're trying to buy a cake or a box of cookies, that person there, I'm sending you to them. I'm sending you to the person working the cash register. I'm sending you to the person standing beside you pumping gas this week. I'm sending you to the person sitting across the table from you who doesn't know Jesus Christ but who wants to spend time with you for whatever reason. This is the mission of the incarnation. This is what Jesus Christ is communicating to his disciples. And so we began the message by asking the question, well, what are we sent for? What is this sending all about? I want to give you a few specific answers, and then we're going to get ready to close. How are we sent? You write this down. Jesus sends us into the world as representatives and carriers of, write this down, of the light of Christ. Okay? The light of Christ. On the screen for you, Isaiah 9:2. The prophet Isaiah prophesies hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus Christ. He prophetically speaks about the coming of Jesus Christ when he announced this. He says, the people who walked in darkness have seen, listen, a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone. He's speaking of the light of Jesus into the dark world. John 1 verse 4 is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. John says, in him, speaking of Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. This is a huge theme. In John 8:12, Jesus himself affirms both Isaiah and the apostle John when with his own words he says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. He says, John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now watch this now on the screen. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus applies the commission to us. He says, now this, you are the light of the world. He says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, he says, this is the word coming to us, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In the midst of a dark world, Jesus, who is the light of the world, commissions us as disciples to be the light of the world as well. He commissions us to take his light into the dark places that you are engaged in. And that's huge. That's like a Christmas message for you right now. You are the light of the world. As the Father has sent Jesus, so Jesus sends us as light. Secondly, Jesus sends us into the world as representatives and carriers of the light of Christ. Secondly, Jesus sends us into the world as representatives and carriers of the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ. Again, the prophet Isaiah on the screen announces prophetically the coming of Jesus Christ. And listen to what he says in Isaiah 9:6. He says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Here it is now. Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. And the world needs peace. Maybe you're in this room today and you need peace. And maybe you know people around you
who you're engaged with that need peace. What they need is the peace of Jesus Christ. They need to be made peace with God. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in Luke chapter 2, 9 to 14. In chapter 14, the announcement comes and they say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Later on the screen for you is a very significant commission Jesus gives to all his disciples, and we broke this down in our Sermon on the Mount series. He says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are sent into the world to take the peace of Jesus Christ into the world. This is our commission. We are sent to carry the light of Jesus. We are sent to carry the peace of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, this. Jesus sends us into the world as representatives and carriers of the light, the peace, and this now, of the compassion of Christ. The compassion of Christ. One thing that I've learned and realized about myself and about the Christian church over many years of being a Christian is that it's very easy for Christians to become self-righteous. It's very easy for Christians to become critical and cynical. It's very easy for Christians to become judgmental. It's very easy for Christians who've been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, who understand what it means for grace and mercy to be applied to a sinful heart. It's very easy for us to forget those things and look at other people and look at other people's sin and judge them. We are sent into the world by Jesus as agents and carriers of his compassion. On the screen for you, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Again, another prophecy fulfilled. And he finds the part that says this. Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus opened the scroll to that part because that part was a prophecy about him. And when he opens the scroll to that part, he announces to people why he's come. Here he is, the Messiah. He's not come to criticize or to be cynical. He's not come to be Pharisaical as the religious leaders were at the time. He's come with great compassion to set people who are in bondage free, to liberate those who are in prisons, to look at people with eyes and a heart of compassion. This is how Jesus is sent into the world, and this is how it must be in the church. This is how we have to understand our commissioning now. This is how we have to understand our being sent into the world. I'm not sent into the world to criticize and judge everyone for their sin. I'm not sent into the world to look at people and just judge them and bash them for their sin. I'm sent into the world with eyes and a heart of compassion to look and to apply the Word of God and the Scriptures to their heart, to see them set free, those who are bound, to see prison doors open so that people can go free. How? Through repentance and faith, through an acknowledgement and a full embrace of Jesus Christ. "As the Father has sent me," Jesus said, "even so I am sending you." Jesus was sent with light into a dark world. He was sent to bring peace to a hostile world. Jesus is sent with great compassion in a world at the time where the religious leaders had nothing like that. They had judgmentalism and cynicism. I wonder if the church is marked by that far too often. I wonder if you've seen that creep into your own heart this Christmas. As I even peeked out the window on Friday and saw that man getting handcuffed, you know, I recognized in that moment my tendency to think, good, they got him. Good, he's not going to come around here anymore. Rather, God spoke to my heart, and instead of good, they got him, it was, that guy needs a Savior. That guy needs to be rescued. That guy is in bondage to his own sin. Loved ones, this is the heart and the attitude with which we must go into the world. This is what the incarnation means for us. You see the compassion of Jesus applied to you, and we are sent into the world with such compassion. as well. Let me close with this, something that I read last week. Jesus came into the world at the first advent. And every advent since is a reminder of his continual advent, listen, into more and more lives. And that advent is, in fact, our advent, our coming, our moving into the lives of those around us and into the peoples of the world. Let me ask you this question. We're going to wrap up. Who is Jesus sending you to this Christmas? You have to think of at least one person. Who is Jesus sending you to this Christmas? You say, "But I'm surrounded by Christians all the time. My family is all believers." Well, is there anyone that Jesus is sending you to? How about at work? How about in your family? How about someone you've met recently that doesn't know the Lord? Who is Jesus sending you to? And as he stands before his disciples, you got to understand that they were terrified. And I would anticipate that as I give you that challenge, you're sitting here and there's a bit of fear. And that's why Jesus comes and says to them, "Peace be with you. Don't be afraid." The disciples were afraid. The disciples did not know what was going to happen. The disciples didn't have what it took to take the mission that Jesus would give to them. And neither do we. We need the grace and the strength and the power and the Spirit of God to equip us and empower us. And that's what he does and that's what he will do. Jesus comes to us and says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Loved ones, if you can find someone, if you can find two people, if you can find a few people that God is sending you to, I don't think you have to search very far. They're all around us to bring light, to bring peace, and to bring compassion. Let's do that together this Christmas. Let's not be all about ourselves. Let's understand what the incarnation means for us. He sends us. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that you, Jesus, were sent into the world. Father, we're grateful that you sent Jesus into the world to come for us, to rescue us from sin and bondage. Lord, we pray today that what's happening in us and in our hearts is a sense of urgency for this great mission. I pray that what's happening in our hearts is, even as we feel a bit of fear, that there's a lot of faith welling up in our hearts as well. Faith to say, "Lord, you can work in me. You can work through me." And Lord, I pray you bring faces and names to the minds and hearts of every person in this church. That even as we get ready to celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve next week, that we would grab someone and bring them with us. That we would bring people along to hear about the comfort and the love of the incarnation and Jesus Christ. Lord, would you do a mighty work among us? Would you do a mighty work of compelling us and moving us towards this mission? Would you protect us from being self-absorbed? Would you protect us, Lord, from leaning into too much fear and not trusting in you for what you'll do through our lives? Lord, every day people are dying. Would you help us to feel the urgency of this? Probably no other time of the year people are more open to come to a church service than Christmas. Pray you would help us to invite and welcome people here so that they can know their sins have been forgiven by a Savior and their lives can be changed for the glory of God. Oh, Lord, help us to be a sending church. Help us to be a church on mission. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen.